We're in a sermon series where we're talking about sharing, and I thought I'd start out today with a little bit of a game. It's kind of a game. We're going to play collectively together if you all are up for that, and it's a game that is called Should You Share, okay? Should you share? So what we're going to do is we're going to put something up on the screen, and then you're going to give me a yes, a thumbs up, or a no, don't do that, don't share that. You'll kind of get the hang of this in just a minute. Should you share it? Should you share it? Does everybody know what we're doing? Good? Okay, good. Thumbs up. Okay, first one. Okay, this is a little hard to see, but you get a text. Anybody get these texts? Like credit card information. If you get a text asking to share your credit card information, do you share it? No. Even if it says your Easy Pass is expired or whatever and you're going to owe thousands of dollars to the state of Pennsylvania, do not click it. Do not click it. Okay, so do not share your debit or credit card information on links that you get from random strangers. Okay, that's good. Okay, how about the next one? You all been here. You're in the stall. Go potty, and guess what? There's nothing there. But maybe you're the other person in the next stall, and hey, can you spare a square, right? That's a little question. Can you spare a square? Do you share it with the person that is lacking? I hope so. I want to be in the stall next to you guys. So, okay, and then what about this one? Toothbrush. People do, don't. Okay, yes, no. Maybe so. Okay, no. That's a no. That's like just germ haven. You know, you want to get any kind of sickness, you can do it that way. What about this for all our young friends? You get a whole bunch of candy, whether it's Halloween or your birthday or Easter or whatever it is. Do you share? You have an abundance of candy and you have a friend without candy? Yes. Oh, come on. The people in the back are greedy. You're greedy, the little people back there. Okay, yes. You should be nice and share. Okay, and then this last one. On Facebook. Okay, and then the great response is, do you realize we're friends on Facebook? From the boss. Do you share, I hate my boss? Even if you're having trouble or difficulty, do you share that on social media? Okay, I would say no. Okay, do you share? So we are in this series called Worth Sharing, and we're talking about something that we should share, and that's Jesus, that we should share Jesus, our faith. We're talking about exploring the practice of actually like talking about and sharing our faith, and about Jesus in the church, and we're talking about why that matters and why that's an important thing. And but the thing is, as soon as we start talking about this kind of thing, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, when we talk about being public about our faith, not just being private, it raises a lot of questions for us. And because, I don't know, you and I, maybe we've had some bad experiences, or we've seen it done really, really poorly or hurtfully. And so over this series, we're basically raising some of those questions about talking about and sharing our faith, and about how important that is. We ask the question, why share our faith? What do we share? How do we actually share and not be weird? And we started off the first week, 2 weeks ago, with the why. The why do we share? And three main reasons that in the scriptures talk about how Jesus encourages us to share our faith. The first reason being that people need good news in the midst of a world and so many things of bad news. People need good news. That was the first reason. The second reason was we don't know where to find the good news. People don't necessarily come to church as being a source of good news, believe it or not. You know, people most of the time are not going to walk in or begin exploring faith. And that's the second piece. They don't know where to find good news. And then the third piece, the third reason was Jesus needs your voice. Jesus needs our voice because there are so many distorted voices and views of Jesus out there. So Jesus needs us. And then last week we had the pleasure and privilege of having Pastor Hunter, who's a church planter in Chambersburg. He shared with us about the who Jesus is for, who the good news is for. And what's the answer to that? Everyone. The people that are struggling, the people that have got it, feel like they have it all. Like, it's for everybody. Everybody is who Jesus is for. So today, we're going to move on to another question. And that question is the what. What exactly are we supposed to share? What do we share? And it's a good question because I think this question gets really to the heart of what makes it so uncomfortable for most of us. Why we're reluctant to mention Jesus. And the thing is, if I had like numerous conversations with people, a lot of us aren't against like talking about or sharing our faith, but we feel inadequate about it. We feel inadequate. You don't know the Bible inside and out. You're still figuring things out on your own. If you get a really deep, deep question, what do I do with that? How do I answer that? But the thing is, if we look at Jesus's first followers, we actually see that they felt the exact same way. They felt the same way. They were very uncertain. But the thing is, we see a willingness to talk about their faith, to talk about their faith with other people. Even if they didn't know or understand all that Jesus was about, they still had a willingness to share. See, Jesus does not need you to be an expert or to know everything about theology and scripture and everything in between. He does not need you to be an expert and know everything in order to share. So if that's true, then what exactly does Jesus want us to share? That's our question today. What exactly does Jesus want us to share? Especially if we're not experts, especially if we've never been to Bible college or seminary, we've been doing this for decades, right? What does Jesus want us to share? Well, the first thing he wants us to share, and if you're following along sermon guide, you want to take notes here. We pass those out. They're also online for you all. The first thing is to share your experience of Jesus. What do you share? Share your experience of Jesus. See, one misconception about sharing is that we think that Jesus wants us to convert people or to convince people. Well, guess what? That's really not true. See, sharing is not about convincing people of a doctrine or of a religion. The aim is not to get people to immediately believe in, okay, well, I don't have any questions anymore, but instead to share our experience of Jesus and our experience of faith. And when you look at the good news of Jesus when he came to this earth, about how the good news of Jesus spread, it was exactly that. It was exactly that. People shared what they experienced of Jesus. Like in this story, in Mark's gospel, he tells us about this. Beginning of Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 1. Mark tells us, a man with leprosy came to Jesus, and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus is indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. See, this is one of the healing stories of Jesus. But listen now. Listen to what happens next. So in verse 45, instead, he, the man that was just healed, went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is typical, by the way, of stories in Mark's gospel. People heard by the droves of what Jesus had done in people's lives and what Jesus had to offer. And you see that the man that was healed of leprosy, what did he do? He couldn't but help share his experience. He had met Jesus. He had been healed by Jesus. He had encountered Jesus. See, it's not about challenging someone else's experience, but rather sharing your own. Sharing your own story. You know, sometimes we get so caught up that we have to prove people wrong. We have to dismiss all the things that they believe in or what they're trusting in. But that really misses the point. Jesus asks us to share how our faith has impacted us. Share our story. That's where we start. The only thing you have to be an expert in is your own story, your own experience, your own reasons. And it may be, like this man, it may be a dramatic change or a healing or recovery from addiction, or maybe being set free from something that's been holding you captive, maybe a healing in your family relationships. It may be something big in those ways, but it may be something more subtle. It may be peace in the midst of some trials. It may be a hard time to know that you are not alone and that you experience Jesus in a real way. You experience Jesus' touch. You experience his redemption. You experience, get this, his grace. To know that life is not about just working your way, trying to do good things and empty your sin bucket out. No, it's about living out, receiving his grace, and then living out of that and doing good things out of that. It's really answering the question or filling in the blank here to say, I trust in Jesus because blank. Can you do that? It's going to be different for a lot of us here. But to finish that sentence, I trust in Jesus because blank. And it might be good to take some time to think about that. What is that for you? Because the most powerful stories of invitation start out with sharing what we've experienced. Some of you all may have heard of a man by the name of Dr. Francis Collins. Anyone know of him? So he's a doctor and a scientist, and he's also a person of faith. And he was a leader of the team that led the discovery of DNA. Believe it or not, that was not too long ago. And in 2007, this very, very smart man, Francis Collins, he wrote this great book called The Language of God, which I encourage you, if you're looking for a good summer read, it is a good one, and don't worry, it's not like super deep. You're not going to not understand lots of it. And Dr. Collins, you imagine, he's been surrounded his whole life, his whole career, by people who struggle with faith, especially as a scientist. So he wrote this book to explain how he, as a really smart scientist, that's really what he is, how he believes in God. How he believes in God. And before you open the book, though, you might think it's all about arguments and facts, and that he's going to, like, support scripture and refute things and all that. But it's not. You know what it is? It's his story. It's his story. The brilliant Collins, he walks you through his struggles with faith. He walks you through his struggles and doubts, and he tells the story of how he came to faith, and even how through a big loss, a tragic loss in his family, yet he still decided to trust in the Lord. And people have been inspired by him reading this because he was willing to talk about his experience as a person of science, but also a person of faith. And maybe for you, maybe for me, like maybe we're not going to write a book. I don't know, maybe someone is here. But a lot of us, all of us have a story to tell. All of us have a story to tell. And believe it or not, we have friends who listen and connect with us. We know people through life transitions and faith, people that are wrestling with addictions or grief or suffering or uncertainty, people who are going through things that you have been through. And our story of how our faith has informed and impacted our life makes a big difference. To be able to share something to the point of, I'm not afraid of death because of Jesus. That even should something happen to me or this test come back the wrong way, I don't even have to be afraid of death. I can be uncertain of death, but I don't have to be afraid even of death because of what Jesus did on the cross and how he offers us the promise of eternal life. That's a difference that Jesus has made in my life. And that's the first thing that Jesus asks us, is to tell our story, to tell our experience of him. You don't have to be an expert in all the big things. You can be an expert to say, hey, filling in the blank, I trust in Jesus because this. And that's the first thing, to share our story. But the second part is to share an invitation. What else does Jesus want us to share? We share our experience of him. But then we share an invitation. And we see invitations, by the way, all over Scripture. See, Jesus wants us to be invitational. I don't know if you've ever been on a street corner or at a college campus and seen the proverbial sandwich board Christian. Show of hands, anybody seen the proverbial sandwich board Christian? With the megaphone, right? And like wearing like trousers. And usually the signs that are being held are not nice signs. They're not very... We say inviting, right? It's like, you're going to hell, you're doing this, you're doing that. Like, we've seen those people, somebody that's shouting at you from the street corner, right? And that's what we usually think of when we hear the word evangelism, right? But that's not at all what Jesus is asking us to do or what he did. What we see is Jesus constantly offers an invitation to explore. So in Mark chapter 2, there's a story of this. Mark chapter 2 tells us, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. It's Matthew, by the way. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. I love that. Jesus didn't have the proverbial sandwich board, right? No megaphone here. Jesus didn't judge him or preach at him, but he asked him to do what? Follow him. Follow. Come, check it out. Come, follow me. And if, see, at first, the disciples, The disciples themselves, too, we see them as they're being called by Jesus. They offer invitations to one another. It's really cool how this happens. It's kind of like, you know, the effect of one relationship on another. In John chapter 1, we see this when Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about who the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" He meant to say Perry County, by the way. But Nathanael asked, "Come and see," said Philip. I always make Perry County jokes, so if you're, get used to those. So those in Dallas Cowboys, right? Got the booze in the back here today. But Nazareth, can anything good from here? Nathanael asked, "Come and see," said Philip. Come and see. See, Phil, he didn't argue with Nathanael. He didn't argue with him, even though Nathanael, he was super nasty. He was super nasty to him to say that. See, Philip doesn't argue or challenge. Instead, what does he say? "Come and see. Come and see, my friend. Come and see for yourself. Come. I want to invite you to check it out for yourself." And I love this because that addresses another fear we have. Like, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to manipulate people. Some of us have had that experience of people trying to push Jesus or hit us over the head with the Bible, right? No, it's an invitation. We don't have to be pushy or manipulate anybody. See, invitation is not off-putting. Instead, it's sharing something that's important to you. Saying, "Come and see. Come with me. Come with me." It's just like, you know, inviting someone to church and saying, "Hey, come sit with me. Come sit with me. Join me and come be with me. Be a part of this. And come and see. Join me. Join me at an event. Join me maybe there's a Christian concert. Join me. Hey, you have a question about the Bible or whatever? Hey, let's open that together. I don't have all the answers, right? Let's figure it out together. That's a good question. Let's explore it together, an invitation." That's the second piece, that we share the invitation. We share our story. We share our experience of Jesus. We share an invitation. That's what we see modeled here by Jesus as well as the disciples. But then the third thing that we share is our community. What Jesus wants us to share is our community, the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, right? The gathering. And I think most often the best way to experience Jesus is in a community that's authentically following Jesus. That we're the body of Christ, and it's through us how people connect and see Christ modeled in the world. And through us. There's a story of John Wesley, who, going back, is at the roots of our tradition here at Table Life Church, the Wesleyan movement. He himself was an Anglican priest who was discovering his own personal relationship with God. And he talks about how one time he was in a conversation with who was called a serious man. I don't know what that actually means, but some serious man he was talking to, we don't know his name, had said to John Wesley, "Sir, you wish to serve God and go to heaven? Remember that you cannot serve him alone. You therefore must find companions or make them. The Bible knows nothing of solitary religion." The Bible knows nothing of solitary, which is actually true. We see in Scripture there is not such thing as a person who, when they come to faith, is not connected to a body. There are no disconnected body parts floating around, right? Everyone becomes connected to a body. And that was an important turning point in John Wesley's own ministry. As he discovered the importance, and he started groups, he started these small groups that would be accountability and gather together. That's so important to share our community, the church. And we see that in the book of Acts. We go back to the early church, Peter and John and Paul and Apollos. They're always inviting people to experience the community because that's how people get a glimpse and a taste of Jesus himself. Acts 2, verse 42 to 47 says, this is a picture of the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Public place, right? They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It was the community. It was the witness and the actions of the community, the body of Christ, that was attractive to people. They saw there's something different going on here. In community, they shared life and they shared Jesus. They talked about him together. And imagine every time that they welcomed people to experience what it's like to follow Jesus in a community and to see the fruit that there is something different. There is something divine. There is something amazing and powerful that's going on here in the midst of these relationships. When I went back to church after a time that I had foregone and felt God that was leading me back to connect to a church body, eventually I ended up at this non-denominational church in Cambridge, Maryland. And I was working as an environmental scientist at the time and going to this church. And I remember first getting a taste of this picture right here. Maybe you have a similar story. It was kind of my first experience of the community and fellowship. And I remember I went to this women's Bible study this one Wednesday or Thursday night. And it was over a little bit late. And I remember walking out to my car. And lo and behold, I had a flat tire. And I was like, ah. Like, this is awful. And I walked down, there was another lady that was going to her car. She said, "What's wrong, Chris?" Like, "Oh, got a flat tire. I guess, you know, like, I think I remember how to change it. I don't know." She's like, "Oh, just wait. I'm going to call my husband. He's right around the block. He'll be here in a jiffy. Like, just hold it out." The poor guy had just gotten off of work. She woke him up from a deep sleep. And guess who comes out here trucking like his equipment and stuff to help me with my flat tire? This man like was woken up out of bed, and he did it, and he fixed the tire, at least enough so I could, but the next morning I can go and get a plug put in it. And I remember like thinking about this, and I mean, I'm standing like on the side of the street here. I'm like, who does that, right? I mean, this woman who I had barely met just this first time in this Bible study, like, she went and woke up, like, and her husband was, like, nice about it, too. Imagine that. Like, you know, that these people, like, who does that? Maybe you have a who does that moment. That somebody in the body of Christ, they blessed you in a way that you're like, who does that, you know? Or they treated you a certain way. You're like, who does that? Or why did the love that is shown, that song we just sang, like, the love for one another, who does that anymore, right? Those who does those moments. And it's not to say that Jesus, some people don't come to faith in Jesus on their own by reading a book or reading the Bible, but many of us, when we start to explore faith or come back to faith, we do so together. And for those of us here too, you know, I hope that Table Life is a church that you want to share with people. That it's not like, oh, you know, somebody starts talking about church or faith and, you know, you're like, oh, I really don't want to like share anything, but that you're proud to be a part of this, and to know that, hey, we're not going to do anything weird or off-putting or make anybody feel like an outsider. You don't have to start praying like, will the preacher do something or say something, that there will be snakes coming out in the service? I don't know. Like, you don't have to be worried to say, if I bring my friend today, are they going to freak them out, right? That's my hope and my prayer. And if you ever see something like that, by the way, like, please let me know. Like, we want to remove barriers that make it difficult for people to come to Christ or to experience the love of God. And if you've ever invited anybody to church, by the way, you know this, right? You're like on the edge of your seat. You see things, you're like, do they know where the bathroom is? Oh my gosh, or do they know where to park? What is going to happen to their kids when they come here, right? You start seeing things through someone's eyes. You know, are we going to talk about insider lingo? You know, you have been to churches before, we're talking, oh, Joey and Susie, they're leading the fellowship dinner and whatever, and you're like, I don't even know who they are, right? Like, we don't want to do those things. That the sermon is not going to be talking about ecclesiology, and we're going to talk about all these big words, and you're going to be like, I have no idea what you just said, right? We don't want to do that. The thing is, you don't have to have everything figured out. You can have doubt. Life may not be great, but it's important for us to remember that the community of the church, it's to keep in mind of the power of that, for people to experience Christ, how you've experienced Christ, the relationships you've developed here, are some of the best parts of our faith, right? I mean, some of these pictures, like finding meaningful relationships, making a difference, learning and growing together, and my favorite, putting up a bounce house. We have a bounce house here at Table Life Church that we put up for outreach events, and many of you have become experts at putting it up and tearing it down. I wouldn't have to be there anymore for you all to do that. You never would have learned that had you been a part of this church. But think about these things. They can only happen by being connected to a church community, where your faith comes alive, where others experience that. And no, I have to say this, we're not perfect. We don't always get it right. We mess up. But we authentically are seeking to learn the way of Christ and to invite everyone, really, to share that at his table here. So as we get to the end of this, as we wrap this up, I hope you experience this as good news. I hope you experience this as freeing, that you don't have to be an expert or have all the answers or know the Bible from front cover to cover to extend an invitation, to share your story. That you can still have questions. And when it comes to talking about our faith, see, Jesus invites us to share our experience, the truth of him that we've had in our lives, to share an invitation to come and see, and to share our community, the church, where people can experience and walk with Jesus in a community that's following and learning the way of Jesus together. So next week, we're going to talk about the how. We're going to talk about the how. But I hope that this week, you'll leave knowing that you are an expert in your story. There is a reason. There is a reason why you have hope. And it's not so complicated or scary when we discover when Jesus calls us to just be simple, to share, to invite, to simply experience the same things that we have. So last thing, I want to give you some homework to answer that question, that fill in the blank there. And once again, we're not going to check homework here, by the way, but to say, I trust in Jesus because blank. Maybe just to take some time in a quiet time, devotion time, maybe even as a family to talk about that together. Say, I trust in Jesus because, like, what are the things that have caused you to follow Jesus? What are the experiences? What is the purpose of the things that he has done in your life and your story? And I'm saying, like, not being, like, long-winded, by the way. You know, it does not have to be a 20-minute spiel of everything that's been going on, but just in a short way, to be prepared should the opportunity present itself to say, well, why do you believe all this stuff? Why do you go to church? Why do you do that? And you say, well, I'm glad you asked. You know, I trust in Jesus because blank. So to do that and to trust in him, the power of sharing, and that he has you strategically placed where you are on purpose and for his purpose. Let's pray. Gracious God,